It's time to give credit where credit is due. If you've seen footage of the Bharat Jodo Yatra, and it may be difficult because there's not a lot of coverage on mainstream television channels of the Yatra, if you have seen that footage, you will know what a stupendous achievement it is. Rahul Gandhi is walking across India. He's walking from Kanyakumari all the way to Kashmir. It's going to take, what, 150 days, possibly more. There's over 3,000 kilometers in the walk, and he's doing this all on foot. If you've seen the footage, you will know the kind of crowds he's attracted, the kind of response he's got. People are stopping him along the way just to tell him how much they support him. It's the kind of response that the Congress has frankly rarely had before. On one occasion, famous occasion now, he spoke at a rally where there was a rainstorm. Okay, he continued speaking. He'd come there to speak. What is more important is this, that the crowd didn't leave. They sat through the rainstorm just because they wanted to hear Rahul speak. That in itself is an achievement. And he's not been going through Congress-ruled states. All the states he's gone through so far are ruled by the opposition or by other parties. In fact, there's only one Congress-ruled state of consequence, and that's Rajasthan, and he hasn't got there yet. So what is it that makes Rahul's Yatra so successful? I think it's a connect he's had with the people. It's a connect he's reached with the people. It's a connect that comes out of a chance to see Rahul as he really is. Most people now, sadly, only know the Rahul of caricature, the caricature on social media, on mainstream television, which is that of a pappu, a not very bright guy. Yet there is another Rahul, and you see that Rahul when he does the Yatra. Now, my first thought when I saw footage of the Yatra and I saw the crowds and I saw the people reaching out to Rahul and Rahul responding to them was, why has it taken this guy so long to do it? I mean, let's face it, from the time Rahul took over as Congress president to now, basically he's been a disaster. He took over the Congress, which was in trouble, and it's in even more trouble now. The states it ruled when he was first appointed president have gone. There's hardly anything left. And whatever is left is shaky. So why is there the contrast between this Rahul's disastrous presidency and the great response he's getting on the streets? Well, I have a theory. My view is that Rahul Gandhi is not a good organizational leader. My view is that he does not know how to manage things. He does not have the political instincts that, say, his mother or his grandmother had. And yet he plunges into it. He makes personal decisions which are nearly always wrong. He organizes state units in a way that they are doomed to fail. He leads state election campaigns which he is going to lose. I mean, just look at the example. Look at Punjab, which by not understanding the politics of the region, he gifted away. Look at Gujarat, which is coming up, which the Congress will lose. At the last election, the Congress came very close, and there was a chance that at the next election, as anti-incumbency mounted, the Congress would win. But no, that state unit is in disarray. Nobody's known how to run it. In state after state, Kerala, where he's an MP from, the Congress was expected to win. Everybody said it would win. It didn't win because there was infighting in the state unit. Rahul did nothing to stop that or did not know how to stop that. And look at the people Rahul surrounded himself with in the first term or in the second term. On the whole, they were young dynasts, Western educated, smart, sophisticated. And Rahul acted as though they were the future of the Congress party. And yet what happened? At the first sign of trouble, most of them left. Often to join the BJP, which they had opposed in such strict terms. Now, within the Congress, it's normal to call these people turncoats, to say that they were selfish, they were only in it for themselves, they never believed in the Congress ideology. Okay, that may be true. But who thought they believed in the Congress ideology? Who promoted them? Who gave them this much prominence? Rahul Gandhi. In fact, if you talk to congressmen, talk to any congressman, the criticisms of Rahul are what? One, that he's inaccessible. And two, that he's surrounded by duffers. There's nobody you can talk to who will get a message to Rahul. And the people who talk to Rahul don't necessarily tell him what's happening. Now, this is in stark contrast to his mother. His mother is an introverted, reticent person. And yes, often when you met her, congressman will tell you, she didn't say very much. So even if you did get access, it wasn't that the access amounted to a lot. But she managed to run the Congress because she relied on people who knew how to run political parties. The problem with Rahul is that there is no Ahmed Patel type figure. There's nobody there who can tell him what the party really thinks. That's why he's been such a disastrous Congress president. And there's another problem. You know, when you're surrounded by chamchas, usually people who are not very good at their jobs and therefore make up for it with shows of bravado and sycophancy, they survive by telling you what a genius you are. So all the people around Rahul tell him what a great leader he is, how people love him, how the EVMs are rigged, how the media is biased against him. Otherwise, they keep saying, there's no problem, you're a fantastic guy. When you're surrounded by people like that, who tell you every day what a wonderful chap you are, it becomes very difficult to see yourself as India sees you. And yet, India sees him differently from the way many people in the Congress see him. You must remember that everything Rahul says about meritocracy, about fighting for a better India, etc., runs completely counter to the narrative of dynasty. And yet, the reason Rahul became Congress president, the reason why he is where he is even today, is dynasty. So there is that tension between the two positions, and to Rahul's credit, he tried to address it in these early days in politics. He tried to have elections within the Congress. He tried to revitalize the youth Congress. He tried to build up the state unit in Uttar Pradesh. But none of it worked because he's not really good at organizing any of these things. So he's now left with a conflict between his role as a dynast who talks about meritocracy, who talks about creating an India based on merit, based on equality. He doesn't seem to see now any longer the contradiction in these two positions. And there's another factor. He is the first member of the Gandhi family in 60 years since Indira Gandhi to actually seem to want to be in politics. His father, we all know, preferred to be a pilot. His uncle Sanjay was the chosen successor. It's only when Sanjay died that Mrs. Gandhi forced Rajiv to get into politics. Sonia Gandhi, we know, turned down the Congress presidency and therefore the prime ministership in 1991. And in 2004, when she could have become prime minister, she turned that job down again. So there has been a sense with both his father and his mother of people who were reluctant to come into politics. So as a consequence, the dynasty argument seems less potent. Whereas in Rahul's case, nobody forced him, nobody held a gun to his head, there was no emotional pressure. He came eagerly and he came voluntarily. When you get into politics voluntarily and you take advantage of the circumstances of your birth, people are going to be suspicious. You're going to have to try that much harder to prove yourself. And yet Rahul hasn't. I mean, there were many things he could have done. For instance, he could have joined during the UPA, the Manmohan Singh government. He could have shown his loyalty to Manmohan Singh. He could have been humble. He could have been a minister. He could have picked up some experience. He didn't do that. Instead, he stayed in Tughlaq Road. He created an alternative power camp, which surely did no good to Manmohan Singh. And then he sort of talked about tearing up an ordinance that the cabinet had passed. He was right on the ordinance, but you cannot belittle your own prime minister in public at a press conference that way. That feeds into the narrative of dynasty, the narrative entitlement. And since then, he's done very little to change that narrative. He's still inaccessible. There's still something royal about trying to get to see him, the way he's treated by the people around him. He still goes off on holidays every couple of weeks, maybe I'm exaggerating, maybe every month. He knows how much criticism there is of these holidays, but he acts like he doesn't care. All this feeds into the BJP narrative of a guy who shouldn't be in politics, who's come into politics, has got the top job only because of who he is, because of what his genes are, and who has destroyed a great national party. Now, it is not my case that this is completely untrue. There is some merit in this position. But there is also another Rahul Gandhi. There's a Rahul Gandhi who's sincere. There's a Rahul Gandhi who believes in the values this country was founded on. There's a Rahul Gandhi who's passionate about secularism, who's passionate about some kind of equality. A Rahul Gandhi who's well-read, who's bright, who's warm, who people who've met him say on a one-on-one level, he's often impossible to dislike. There's a certain naivety, a certain sincerity about him. That Rahul Gandhi we never see. We only see the spoiled Pappu type figure that the BJP has created. Now, the good thing about the Yatra is that it's given people a chance to see that there is another Rahul Gandhi. And that Rahul Gandhi, I think, is now freed of the responsibilities of having to run the party. He's freed of the responsibility of being held responsible for every election defeat. And God knows there are more coming. He's being himself. Will that mean anything? What does it mean for the future? If you ask me, will they win Gujarat? Will they win the next elections? No, they won't. It may or may not make some difference to the general election, but the immediate future, it doesn't make a difference. But what it does suggest, and I'd hoped it would suggest that, is a template for the future where the Congress appoints a president or elects a president who actually runs the organization, who runs the party, who is not inaccessible, who's not surrounded by a coterie of duffers, who therefore communicates better with Congress people. When I'd originally thought this through, I thought it'd be Digvijay or Kamal Nath or Ashok Gehlot or somebody like that would be Congress president. I'm not sure if it's going to hold with Kharge as Congress president, but we'll have to wait and see. But regardless of what happens, Rahul needs to cut himself off from the job of unseating chief ministers, deciding PCC chiefs, all the stuff that he has failed to do. He needs to go out. He needs to show people what he's like. He needs to stand up for the things he believes in. And who in his right mind can oppose a yatra that is dedicated to uniting India, dedicated to love, at a time when there's so much hatred in our society? So yes, the yatra is a good thing. Yes, Rahul has the right idea. Where it will lead, I don't know. But one thing is clear, if the Congress is going to get anywhere, and if Rahul is going to get anywhere, he should stop trying to do things he's no good at. He should ultimately follow a simple dictum. Let Rahul be Rahul.